Hello and welcome to Pro Yaki This Week here on JapaneseBaseball.com. I'm Michael Westby, your host, as this is the first Pro Yaki This Week broadcast coming to you live. This week, September 1st through 7th, to start off the week, the World Baseball Classic Manager was discussed quite a bit this past week. Hoshino Kantoku, who led the Japanese to a disappointing medalist Olympics in Beijing, is not getting much consideration, despite the general idea going into the Olympics that he would be doing double duty of both covering the Olympics and the World Baseball Classic thereafter. Instead, most baseball people, or at least in the press, want the Dragons' Ochiai Kantoku to take the job, but Ochiai Kantoku would rather concentrate on getting his team ready for the 2009 season come March. He did finally tone down his arguments against managing the WBC team with a statement that he'd do it if the selection process dictated it, like the winner of the Nippon Series taking over the job. O Kantoku has stated that that for health reasons, he would rather not be repeating as manager of the WBC team. And Nomura Kantoku grumbled something or other to the effect that he wasn't interested. The only person raising his hand to volunteer for the job has been Lotte's Valentine Kantoku. In interviews over the course of the past week, Valentine Kantoku has gone from controversy, stating that there are people in the front office at Lotte wishing he'd go away, to stating that it would be very difficult for a current manager to pull off both the WBC and season preparations. So it should be left to someone like Hoshino Kantoku, who doesn't have the latter responsibilities. Naturally, Bobby, master of juggling multiple hats, feels that he'd also be able to handle the extra workload. What it all boils down to this past week, though, is that everyone is anxious for the new commissioner to make a decision quickly so that preparations can get underway, but they also want him to take the necessary time to make the right choice. And of course, any decision needs to be made with transparency in the decision-making process. It will certainly be interesting to see if the former diplomat can pull off all of that. Standings from September 1st through 7th. The Central League has seen no change in the standings, although the gap between the Tigers and the Giants has closed from 6 games to 4. The Dragons started off the week 12.5 games back and ended just 11 games back. The Hiroshima Toyo Carp started off 14.5 games back, while they finished in 4th place, still just 0.02 of a percentage point ahead of the Swallows, both the Carp and Swallows 13 games back. Swallows starting off the week 16 games back. And the BayStars actually gained a game, starting off the week 30 games behind the Tigers, ending at 29, yet they've increased their debt under 500 to 35 games. The Tigers, over the week, were 1-4. They lost 2 to the Bay Stars and 1-1 and lost 2 to Hiroshima. The Giants beat Hiroshima twice, losing once, while Yakult was 1-1 against the Giants with a rainout. So the Giants, over the week, were 3-2. The Dragons ended the week even at 3-3, dropping the series against Yakult and winning the series against Yokohama, 0-3 and 3-0 respectively. Hiroshima was also 3-3 for the week, losing the series 1-2 against Yomiuri and beating 2 out of 3 against Sanshin. The Swallows were 4-1 for the week, gaining 3 games in the standings, defeating the Chunichi Dragons 3 games in a row, and splitting 1-1 with the Giants to go 4-1 on the week. The Bay Stars were 2-4 on the week, starting off defeating Hanshin 2 out of 3 games. And then, actually, defeating Hanshin 2 games in a row and 1 rainout. And then losing the series against Chunichi all 3 games. Over in the Pacific League, though, the standings have really had a shake-up. The Saitama Seibu Lions started the week with a magic of 19, ended the week with a magic of 14, yet they went 2-4 on the week. They lost to Lotte, winning 1 and losing 2, and to Oryx they were also 1 win and 2 loss, for a 2-4 record on the week. The Hawks started off the week 8 games behind the league-leading Lions in 2nd place, and they finished the week in 4th place, 8.5 games back, winning 1 and losing 4. The Hawks defeated Nippon Ham 1 game in 3 tries and lost the series against Lotte 0-2. The Oryx Buffaloes started off the week 9 games back and in 3rd place and climbed to 2nd place, just 6 games back. The Buffaloes swept Ducton to begin the week 3 games to none and took 2 out of 3 against Cebu for a 5-1 record on the week. The Fighters started off the week in 4th place and finished in 5th, actually gaining a game, going from 10 games back to 9. The Fighters were 2-1 against SoftBank at the beginning of the week and dropped the series against Docton 1 game to 2, 3-3 on the week for the Fighters. The Chivalote Marines were the big winners of the week, going from 10.5 out in 5th place to 8 games out in 3rd place. The Marines took 2 out of 3 against Cebu and then swept the series against SoftBank to be 4-1 on the week. Finally, the Tohoku Ducton Golden Eagles started out 15.5 back, ended up 15.5 back, going an identical 2-4 as the front-running Cebu Lions. The Eagles lost 3 in a row to Oryx, then took 2 out of 3 against Nippon Ham. One of the biggest stories of the week has been the Oryx Buffaloes' triumphant comeback into 2nd place. On Tuesday, the Oryx Buffaloes went over 500 in late September for the first time since September 20, 2001. They finished that month 2 games under back in 2001. In the game at K-Stadium Miyagi against the Eagles on Tuesday, Kiyohara capped off a 10-3 victory with his first RBI in 2 years, a 2-run single off the right field fence. The Bay Stars have been dominating the Tigers of late. After winning just 2 of the first 12 meetings between the two teams, Yokohama has won 6 in a row to improve their record against the first place Cats to 8-10. Miura Daisuke won his 7th game of the season on Wednesday as Yokohama defeated Hanshin 8-0. That was Miura's 4th victory over the Tigers this season, claiming half of Yokohama's victories against Hanshin, and his 37th of his career against just 14 losses. The Bay Stars were leading 6-3 on Thursday before heavy rains interrupted for a 2nd time, and the game was called. No game. That big lead that Hanshin had built up at the start of the season at Yokohama's expense is slowly dwindling away. Kabuto leads the Buffaloes to second place. Now, I know that everybody knows Ichido and Lotte Sabudo, and then there's Arribata, the two-headed middle infielder for Chunichi, who's also quite famous. But I'd like to introduce you to Kabuto, the AVEC arching Sketo Kombi from the Oryx Buffaloes. With 6 wins in a row, powered by Cabrera and Rose, hitting AVEC arches for the 11th time this season, the Oryx Buffaloes have moved into second place for the first time since October 8, 1998. On Thursday, of note, when Cabrera and Rose, Kabuto, have hit home runs in the same game, the Buffaloes are 10 wins and 1 loss. The only loss being when the 2 home runs accounted for all of the Buffaloes scoring in their 2-4 loss to Cebu on July 29. In Thursday's affair, though, down 2-0 in the top of the 5th inning, Rhodes hit a Grand Slam Gyakuten home run to take a 4-2 lead away from the Eagles. In doing so, Rhodes becomes the 9th player to hit a Grand Slam in his 40s. It was also Rhodes' 8th bases-loaded arch in Japan, his first in 5 years. Archist Oga Sawada is a leading winning indicator for the Giants. Whereas Kabuto has a winning percentage of almost 91% when they hit AVEC arches, the Giants are 22-3 and 1 tie, an 880 winning percentage when Archist Oga Sawada goes deep. 28 home runs through and including Thursday. While teammate Ramirez has hit more home runs, 35, the Giants are 24-6, just 800, when he hits the ball out. Contrast this to Yokohama's slugging duo of Yoshimura, 27 home runs on the year, a 12-12-1 record, 500 winning percentage, and Murata, who has 33 home runs on the year, and the Bay Stars actually have a losing record when he hits it out, 14-16, a 467 winning percentage. Remake Miracle. It was asked a while back how big a deficit has been made up in the past to win a pennant race. With Hanshin way out in the lead all season, it hasn't been until recently that anybody thought that any such thing could be possible. But with the Giants coming to within 3.5 games on Friday, Tigers fans are starting to hit the panic button. The Giants fans are starting to reminisce about the Make Miracle of 1996. For those of you not following Japanese baseball back in the 90s, you probably won't recall some of the classic sayings that came out of the Giants manager, Nagashima Shigeo. Things like Rocket Dash and Make Drama were a couple of phrases to describe how Nagashima's Giants were supposed to start the season, but the launch was kind of aborted, and finish the season. With as many as 11.5 games separating the Giants from first place during the season, and 10 games behind the Dragons with 58 games to go, Make Drama didn't quite capture the odds that in that 1996 campaign. It was a Make Miracle, with the Giants clinching the pennant on their last game of the season. It was It was a Make Miracle, with the Giants clinching the pennant on the last game of the season. As high as 13 games behind the front-running Tigers this season, the Giants have come back to within 4 games as of Sunday. So the Giants are trying to make miracle once again, or, as Nikon Sports put it, remake miracle. Greisinger going for two in a row. The Giants' Seth Greisinger is going for his second pitching title in 2 years. In 2007 with the Swallows, Greisinger won 16 games, tops in the Central League. On Thursday against his former club, Greisinger won his 14th game of 2008, leading Hiroshima's Lewis by one game. Lewis, on the other hand, leads the Central League in ERA, a 2.30 ERA, to number 8 Greisinger's 3.15, and strikeouts, 143 to 145 in 141 compared to 168 and 2/3 innings, respectively. Magic disappears for the Tigers, 4th and 5th times. Meanwhile, the Central League Tigers, losing their 5th straight game on Friday, have their magic number disappear for the 4th time this season. This is the first time since the two-league system began, that a team has lost its magic number so many times. For those of you who don't understand how a magic number can appear and disappear, in Japan, the magic number involves a lot of fun math. Namely, so long as any given team can win all of their games, and taking into account the games between the second place and first place teams as losses for the leading team, the magic number will not be lit up, as it said. In this case, as of the end of play on Friday, the best the Giants could do was go 26-0 for a .648 winning percentage. Hanshin just needs to go 24-4 for a .650 winning percentage. So the hidden magic number at the time was 24. However, if one assumes that the Giants win 26, and since there are 5 games remaining between the two clubs, the best the Tigers could do under such an assumption became 23-5 to end at .643, just under the Giants. So games against each other are taken into account, because the Giants are said to, quote, control their own destiny, unquote. The Tigers don't get their magic number up in lights. Hanshin gets their magic to light up again on Saturday at 22, just to see it blown again on Sunday. As they say, the pennant race is a marathon, and it's looking like the Tigers have worn themselves out with their initial sprint. Tamura returns. The Fukuoka SoftBank Hawks center fielder Tamura Hitoshi returned to the lineup on Sunday for the first time in 134 days. Tamura fractured his fibula in a collision with a left fielder 4.5 months ago. Tamura went 1-for-4 in his return with an infield hit against Lotte in a 5-4 loss. He was taken out of the game defensively in favor of Tsuji after his fourth at-bat. Tamura says that his leg still is not 100%, but he's very glad to be back in the lineup before the end of the season. Tamura came in as a pinch hitter on the 12th on Sunday and struck out. And then there were the Marines. The Chiba Lotte Marines started off the week, as I explained earlier, in 5th place. They finish off the week in 3rd, leaving over the slumping Fighters and Hawks. It was a sweep of the Hawks in Fukuoka that finished off the week. But more impressively, it was coming back from a 6-2 deficit in the top of the ninth inning on Sunday against Hawks closer Mahada that really did it. Lotte's primary backup catcher, Hashimoto Tasuku, pinch hitting for backup catcher Masahiko Tanaka with bases loaded and one out, took a 151 kilometer per hour pitch from Mahara into the right field stands to tie up the ball game, sending it into extra innings. Zuleta's solo home run in the 12th inning sealed the two-game sweep of SoftBank, knocking the Hawks into fourth and propelling the Marines into third. While the Lions still sit comfortably on top of the Pacific League race, the battle for second and third place is really starting to heat up. I'd like to invite any of you listening in to Pro Yaku this week to call in via Skype during the broadcast. You can call in to Pro Yaku Live, PROYAKYULIVE, all one word. And moving right along, we've got the race in the for the Central League Rookie of the Year really starting to heat up. In his first year, the Hama Express, Kobayashi Futoshi, has only a very slim chance. With 4 wins to 5 losses and an ERA of 4.39, Kobayashi has had a few bouts with Ippatsubyo to contend with. In his favor, some like to vote for a first-year player, and it looks like Kobayashi is it in the Central League when it comes to first-year rookies. There are a pair of second-year rookies in contention. Hiroshima's Mayakin, that is Maeda Kinta, who is 6-2 with a 4.29 ERA, getting an early reputation as a Tiger Killer, defeating Hanshin twice in 3 games with a 1.36 ERA. The other second year, like Maeda, entering the pros from high school, is Giants' Sakamoto Hayato, batting .253 with 6 home runs and 29 RBIs. Sakamoto has won the shortstop job from the likes of Nioka. Not an easy task to do. There are 3 hurling third years looking for the Rookie of the Year honor. Hanshin's Iwata Minoru, 8-8 with a 2.75 ERA in 22 games. Chunichi's Yoshimi Kazuki, who's 8-3 with a 3.25 ERA in 82.2 innings. And Giants' Yamaguchi Tetsuya, who is 9-2 with a 2.28 ERA in 56 games, 59.1 innings. So primarily used in very short relief, Yamaguchi is 9-2, and that is a very impressive ERA to go along with it. Finally, there's Akamatsu Masato, the speedy fourth year that Hiroshima took from Hanshin this past offseason in compensation for free agent Araki. Akamatsu is just hitting .271 with 7 homers and 24 RBIs, stealing just 12 bases in 101 games. Akamatsu's inability to get on and steal bases has been a bit of a disappointment from what was expected of him. That, combined with his exposure with Hanshin, making him not really feel like a true rookie, will probably pretty much eliminate Akamatsu from competition. Well, that 25 minutes really flew by. Oh, and there is one more thing I would like to add. Robert Fitz wrote the book Wally Yonamine, The Man Who Changed Japanese Baseball. It's a biography on Wally Yonamine. I have read it cover to cover now. I'm going to write up a book review for it very soon. I would strongly recommend this book. This is a book for someone who likes to read about pennant races, as we've had a nice tome to The Death of Pennant Races by somebody recently. The 1950s pennant races were just phenomenal, and you really feel the pennant races come alive again reading this book. Pre-World War II Hawaii, how that contrasts to what things were like on the mainland for Nisei is also a fascinating read. And also what Yonamine has done since retiring from playing, coaching many very great ball clubs. I never knew so much about Yonamine, him coming in, or him basically retiring, before I really got into Japanese baseball. But I really feel like I know so much more about Pro Yaku having read this book, and I have a really great appreciation for what Yonamine has done for Japanese baseball in his time, and how he really set the stage for others to come over. If I haven't said it, it's a really great book. I strongly recommend it. So that's it for this week in Pro Yaku. No, Pro Yaku This Week. That's the title. And just like the Pro Yaku Live broadcasts, I'd like to mention that Pro Yaku This Week is a production of JapaneseBaseball.com and is distributed under the Creative Commons license. You may copy, redistribute, and or rebroadcast in whole or in part in any way you wish, provided that you give credit to JapaneseBaseball.com. This is Michael Westbay, your host, wishing you a good one. Take care.